Let's do this.
Here we go.
Grumpy Collins.
Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Steve Collins, Traveller.
The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
He's got his luxurious luggage packed, going somewhere to where we never really know until he joins us on a Friday morning. Grumpy, good morning.
Well, a good morning to you, Tony. I'm going to be talking about cruises this morning, but mainly about the little things about cruises that you don't really expect, about additional cruise costs. But I've got to get back to some talkback first, if that's okay with you.
Please do.
Because I believe that Mike Walsh was one of the first talkback radio announcers in Australia.
He was on this
day. And that was back in the 1960s. He was at 2SM.
And I think the distinction is that he was the first one to legally do it. Anything else at that stage was perceived as being, my understanding, under the law, PMG back in those days?
Yep, yes, it was PMG, yes.
Yeah, was in dispute as to whether or not it was legal. Anyway, so he did the first one, and then the rest is history. But what a time that must have been. The wonderful Mike Walsh, he doesn't do much, if anything, these days in terms of interviews.
Oh, he's well and truly retired from showbiz.
Yeah.
He does own some cinemas. He owns...
I know.
There's one in Cremorne in Sydney,
the
Hayden Theatre, I think it's called. No, my father worked with him on a TV show called 66 and All That, which was a Channel 10 show made in 1966, and Mike Walsh was one of the stars of that show. So we actually got to know him quite well because he'd come to our place for dinner occasionally. Lovely bloke.
And Grumpy, you look at some of those great presenters we've been talking about, given the advent of the history of Open Line Talkback Radio. It was people that came out of the music or entertainment genre who then dabbled into the idea of Open Line. And, you know, and I was, you know, my start was playing, you know, bloody racy. Some girls do. Some girls do, some girls don't, some girls will, some girls won't.
Yeah.
She might. But the idea of playing racy, the novelty of that very quickly wore off for me. And then with other great presenters that were doing music that did it infinitely so well, I was envious of great music presenters.
Yeah, well, somebody mentioned Keith Smith before. And now, he was well before Talkback because he did the Pied Piper on radio and TV. But I was really, really fortunate to work with him at the ABC in Sydney, because he did a weekly show for Radio Australia, which we had back then. We no longer have it now because we don't need short radio to send to the Pacific Nations, which is what he did. And he did a show called The Inventors. And he was a brilliant, brilliant commentator because he would be talking about these inventions and he would describe them. And he did it so well that you could actually picture what now. I don't know if I was getting the wrong picture or not, but he was a really good guy. But he produced the show, and he was a brilliant producer as well. Certainly one of the best producers I've worked with. He knew exactly what he wanted to get, and he knew exactly how to get it. And it was just a joy to work with Keith Smith. So he was a true legend. But the Pied Piper both worked well on both radio and TV.
The radio stations that you would have been listening to in your part of the world, where you grow up in New South Wales.
And I grew up in Sydney.
Yeah.
2SM, 2UW, they were really the two big ones. They were the rock radio stations. We had, of course, Mike Walsh was at 2SM. Ward Powley Austin was the big one at 2UW in Sydney. He was a great guy as well. And they were all... Gary O'Callaghan was on 2UE. He did the breakfast show and he was number one. He rated number one for, probably decades. So I think no one could beat him.
No, it was an amazing time. And for those of us who were listening and watching from a distance, not necessarily in the business, it was an amazing time. And morning radio in particular, breakfast radio, still is very important, but it was a different style. So, and it wasn't, there was only a few, there were way fewer stations from which people could choose.
Well, there was no FM, of course.
No FM, it was all AM. and you just knew the 4, 5, 6, and then there was the ABC, people would have a favourite. But the leading ones were just, you didn't want to miss it. I can remember.
No, that's right. And back then, of course, they also had sessions like after 9 o'clock. It was the women's session, and they would have serials.
And they called
like
it. That's they did.
Porsche
they,
Faces
yes.
Life and all that sort of stuff. I don't know who was in Melbourne, but we had people like Eric Bohm and that in Sydney. And so, yeah, at different times of the day, you would have different sort of, and after school, when I came home, it was about 3:30, 4 o'clock it started, a lot of the stations would have the kids' serials on, you know, Biggles and Superman and all those sorts of serials that people, because we didn't really have TV in those days, or TV was just beginning, and we'd all rush home to listen to these terrific serials. Yeah. On the radio. So it was a very, very different sort of radio back then.
And there was an idea, Grumpy, too, where I can recall as a student at William Angus College here in Melbourne and working at the Dorchester on Alexandra Avenue as a budding chef. Didn't quite work out that way at that time.
Oh,
but
right.
I remember parking the car in the car park to go in to start work at 9. And I'd park the car, but didn't want to get out of the car because I'd listened to Bert Newton and Don Lane in the 8:30 to 9 o'clock spot.
Right.
Before Bert would take over on 3UZ from 9. Yeah. And I wanted to hear the first 10 or 15, and I'd sit in the car.
Yeah.
Rather than go into the office, if you like. Listen, because it was so riveting, and you didn't want to miss a heartbeat of it.
Well, of course, in those days, I'm not talking about talkback radio, but on a lot of the FM stations, it's so formulaic, and what's the point of having announcers when, you know, they're not allowed to say anything? But in those days, radio was very, very exciting. You know, it was just terrific, and you had some really good personality in all of the capital cities, you know. And I think it was a period of time when your popular radio announcers were quite important people in the community as well. You know, they were well-known, well-liked, and would get involved in a lot of things, particularly charities and things like that. And I just think it's changed over the years. I don't think it's... I mean, talkback's good because you have contact with your listeners, but most of the stations these days, particularly the music stations, well, I mean, you might as well have Spotify, to be honest with you.
Very, very true. As you're speaking, got this wonderful text ending in 203 who says, oh, and Billy Pennell even gets a mention too.
Oh, he's brilliant.
He's wonderful. We know him and love him. He's brilliant. And he's a Collingwood supporter, so he's very happy. I spoke to him last night.
Right.
G'day. Never listened to talkback, but growing up, too busy listening to people like Stan Rofe, and you'll love this list, Stan Rofe, Don Lunn, Alan Lappin, Bill Howie, Grantley D.
Oh, Grantley D,
Grantley D.
He was a very well-liked person, wasn't he?
And what about this? Lionel York gets a mention on this list.
Yes, I know. Yes. No, Lionel, I think, came to Perth from Melbourne.
He did. I think he went overseas and then came back into Perth and still lives. In fact, he could well be listening now. Yorkie, good morning to you. I hope you are doing
Hello, Yorkie. He's a great bloke.
And one of the great presenters. There was a time Lionel York...
I can't do his whistle.
That when you got close. After he left 3AK, the good guys in those days... and then made his home in Perth, there was a joke doing the rounds for a long time that before any decision was made by the government, they would ask Yorkie first if it was okay.
Yeah, probably.
Swung that much power. Grumpy, stay there. We'll come back in just a moment. We will get to travel the other side of this, and I'm going to ask you about what you pack when you go on holidays, particularly for a cruise. 133-693. Thank you for all the text. Lots of wonderful memories of open line talkback presenters over the years, and there's none finer in the Adelaide market, of course. Famously, the great Jeremy Cordeau. People remember it to 5DN for a long time, and then 5AA as well in Adelaide.
Because I think he was a newsreader in another capital city before he went to Adelaide.
I think for a little time, I'm going to say he'll be listening. I know he listens each and every morning via 5AA with Carolyn. Morning to you both. And I think he did do a fair bit of work in Sydney and then back into Adelaide, and the rest is history, and dominated and changed the landscape in many ways. We're being a bit self-indulgent. I want to talk to you about travel, and as do you. Yep. It's Steve Collins Travel. Have a look at the YouTube, Facebook. It's wonderful. Cruising's not for everybody. I've tried to convince the brother recently to consider it with his wife, and he said, no, I don't think so.
Well, there are a lot of people that get seasick. but that's a thing of the past too
with the modern ships.
No, it's not. Because it depends where you go. I'll give you an example.
But now, you can take a tablet before you go. You never get crook.
Well, I don't suffer from seasickness, but I know people that do. But yeah, there's a lot of people. One of the most popular cruises out of Sydney is to sort of circumnavigate New Zealand. Now, I used to live in New Zealand. I used to live in Wellington, and I used to go across the Cook Strait to various places. And I know that it can get very, very rough. And people go on these cruises and around New Zealand, and it can get very, very, very rough there. And sometimes I've had friends who did one trip, and it was in summer. Couldn't get into three ports because of bad weather. So I do understand why some people don't like cruising, because if you're prone to seasickness, and it's going to be pretty miserable if you get bad weather, you know.
How rare is that, though?
What, bad weather in New Zealand? Very, very common. you're going much further south than say the southern tip of Tasmania. You're going down to the roaring 40s, and that's some of the roughest. See, this is it. A lot of people don't do their research on cruises, and they get a cruise and they think, oh, this will be lovely, I'll go there. Now, to be fair, most cruises are really, really good. But there are some destinations that I think, why would you want to do that? And doing a circumnavigation of New Zealand is one of them, because New Zealand is a fabulous country to visit, but you've got to go overland because that's where the best of it is, you know? But yes, one of the things that people don't realise with cruises is that there can be quite a lot of additional cruise costs.
E.g.?
Well, for instance, a little bit like airline tickets. You buy a ticket and then, hold on, wait a minute, I've got to pay extra for luggage. Or if I want to choose my seat, I've got to pay extra for that. It's a little bit about the same. There are some optional add-ons and some not. For instance, some of the mandatory ones, and it depends on which shipping company you're going with, but basically the American ones, which is Royal Caribbean, Carnival, et cetera, one of the things that is mandatory is gratuities or service charges. And that can be as much as USD $14 to $20 per person per day. Depends on the cabin type. And some lines let you prepay and others add it to your onboard account. Now, there's also port fees and taxes, but that's not the cruise line that's charging you, though. That's the port. This is very common in places such as the Caribbean and some of the South Sea Islands. They charge you. It's a bit like when you go overseas, you go to Bali. They charge you just for going to Bali, and that's the same. So I'm not blaming the cruise lines for that. But there's also some fuel surcharges, and at the present time, with the cost of diesel in particular, I wouldn't be surprised if they hit you with those surcharges. But some of the others, which are optional but very common, drink packages. Now, I was talking to a friend who actually did a cruise around New Zealand, but they had perfect weather the whole time, and I reckon it must be the only New Zealand cruise that had that. But they had a drink package which cost them $170 a day. And I'm thinking, I couldn't drink that much. I couldn't drink that. And it reminded me, I used to work for P&O, one of my first jobs back in the 1960s after I left school. And I was in the wharf department there, which means we looked after the ships as they came in and out of port. Mm. And back in those days, if you did a cruise on any cruise line, but I knew about P&O, as soon as you were past the 3-mile limit outside of Australia, you were paying duty-free prices for your alcohol. And one of the reasons for going on a cruise was you're getting really cheap alcohol. Well, there, nowadays, there's no such thing as duty-free alcohol on cruises. They hit you. They hit you pretty hard for if you want drinks. So you know, these drink packages are supposed to make it easier for you. Now, it depends. You should look up to see what the drink package is on your ship.
It depends. I mean, the ones that I've done, Grumpy, is it's usually all-inclusive. So I don't know what the fee is, but let's say the fee is you pay, I don't know, but let's say you pay $3,500 for the cruise, for example.
Yeah.
Everything is including gratuity, including X amount of beverage allowance, and nothing else is extra. Maybe occasionally some dry cleaning.
Well, I don't know which cruise lines you've been on, but I can tell you right now that that's not... There are some cruise lines where, like, I mean, for instance, we did a cruise down the Norwegian coast last year, and one of the other things that you find on a cruise is laundry and dry cleaning costs.
Yeah.
Well, on the ship that we had, they had laundromats. You had to operate them yourself, but that they were absolutely free. And the meals and that were included. Now, in most cruises, the meals are included, but they do have
high-end restaurants,
which you pay a fee for. But I understand that. I'm talking about fees. And if you want Wi-Fi, for instance, just basic messaging is going to cost you between $20 and $20 a day. If you want full internet, that's going to cost you up to $35 per day just for some internet.
Gee, you're mounting a great buddy case for never going on a cruise.
Oh, no. The thing is, you've got to be aware of this before you book your cruise.
I'm going to send my Viking cruise brochure home.
Well, no, Vikings are all right because there's a big difference between the sea cruises, the ocean cruises, and the river cruises, because on the river cruises, most of the tours, etc., are included in the cost because that's part of the cruise. Whereas if you're doing, say, if you're doing a cruise through the South Pacific Islands, for instance, then if you want to do an excursion, it's not mandatory. But if you want to do an excursion and book it through the ship, then you pay extra. Now, one of the reasons for taking the one that they sell you on the ship is because if the bus is back and it's booked through the cruise line, then they wait for you. And you've probably seen videos on YouTube of people that didn't take a cruise tour and they got back late, and you see them running down the wharf as all the passengers are waving goodbye as they leave port. You know, so it all depends. You can also, of course, organise your own private tours in some of these places by doing that beforehand, getting on the internet before you go. Mm. But yeah, there's things like usually entertainment. I'm talking about the big ships now. Entertainment is usually included.
Some of that entertainment,
and they have
really
some great shows.
Yeah,
they have some great shows. But things like spas and salons, well, you would expect to pay for a spa and salon treatment. Sometimes if you want to do a fitness class, there's an extra fee for that. Some of these mega ships have got really full amusement parks there. Well, obviously there's a fee for that, but I'm not really counting that because most people are not going to go on board a ship to go-karting around the decks or whatever, you know.
You've got to be a bit selective on the cruise ship. No, you don't want to be on. That's very funny. You've got to do your research around that. But if you're looking for that package where you go to, if you're interested in wine, for example, or fine dining. Presumably, you've researched that, and that's a great experience.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a great experience, but I'm saying that a lot of people
are feeling deflated. I got to tell you,
anticipate this when they book, because the price you book includes is basically the cruise, and that depends on what sort of cabin you have.
You've got to get yourself a better travel agent.
I don't use travel agents
because I do my research.
This is why I'm talking to you now, Tony, about this very subject.
I think you need to retire and get yourself a decent agent. You're ripping yourself off.
Travel agents are getting a cut of what they sell. Do not forget that. You know, they're not selling you travel on anything because they're very kind people. It's a business
well,
for them.
Well, hang on. What about all the wonderful people that advertise on radio right across Australia, including this station, yeah, who are highly regarded clients and doing an amazing job promoting travel?
They're not good. I'm not saying they're not good, but you are paying for their services, and that I'm not saying that's bad.
This segment's going really well.
Because I used to be a travel agent, and, you know, there's a lot of research, a lot of work goes in booking someone a trip, you know, even if it's just a cruise. I mean, if you're going from, you know, supposing the cruise is going out of Sydney and you're from Brisbane, well, you've got to get to Sydney. You probably have a night's accommodation beforehand and all that. Well, your travel agent can handle all that for you. There's nothing. I've got nothing against. You know, they are getting a percentage of whatever the total cost of your itinerary is.
Well, they get a slice, but you know that's yes. But that's business. That's what you do. And if you're looking for a product,
it also depends on the travel agency as well. there's one major one that, but they get a fair bit more than a slice. Let's put it that way. But anyway,
I think you've turned into a bit of a tight, you know what?
No, I'm just all I'm saying is that with just about everything, there's extra costs. Yeah, and with cruising, a lot of people don't do the research to find out what those extra costs are. I'm not saying you shouldn't have to pay them or anything like that. But in some cases they're not really highlighted in the travel brochure that you're looking at to book your cruise or anything else, you know, a packaged holiday somewhere or anything like that. So, but you should do your search, because I know so many people who book holidays and they do nothing and they know nothing about where they're going. You know, you should always do your research if you're going to go away on a holiday, because how do you know it's going to be what you like or what you don't like or whatever?
And that's why you always have a highly regarded travel agent who does this each and every day and puts it all together.
Well, yes, that's true. I'm not against travel agents. The travel agents do a great job. But, you know, it is a business. And I have known... I was mentioning, I was talking about an agency that I would not mention. They booked my sister and her husband some flights to go to Canada. And honestly, they booked them on the longest flights they could because they made more money out of it. If my sister and brother-in-law had asked me to check it, I would have said, don't take this, don't touch this, because your travel agent is not doing you a favour. Most travel agents are fabulous. In fact, there are travel agents who specialise in cruises. They know just about everything about it, and they are really good people to get to know if you want to book a cruise. It's like, yeah, there's some people that specialise in destinations.
We've got to do a break. Stay right there. We'll finish this the other side. Wherever you are, right across Australia, come and join us, 133693, particularly if you've done a cruise. Where did you go? When did you go? And were you delighted, or did you have some of those concerns that Grumpy is expressing? 133693. Gabe will have the news coming up at the top of the hour. We can tell you the 10-day ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon is scheduled to get underway 7 o'clock Australian Eastern Standard Time this morning. So if you haven't caught up with that one, it's a 10-day ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon. And scheduled to start from 7 o'clock our time, Australian Eastern Standard Time. Steve Grumpy Collins, river and or ocean cruising? Big distinction, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, obviously, because with river cruises, you're going to be doing something different every day on shore, you know. So, and quite often, those ships will travel at night or whatever as well to get to the next
through those fjords, though, up north, you know, yeah, through the Baltic are amazing.
Oh, yes, I know. It's just stunning, yeah. Just amazing. And another one is in many parts of Europe, particularly France, that's probably the best one. But you have the canal boats as well, and they're quite small, and very luxurious, but that's they sort of travel at walking pace. That's just amazing. So it depends what you, actually the best way to choose a cruise is to really ask yourself, why do I want to do this? I mean, what do I want for the cruise? Do I want to, say, relax and do nothing? Do I want adventure and explore new places? Do I want family time? In which case, one of those big ships that's got all the amusement parks on board and all that, that might be wonderful. Do I want, you know, the food and entertainment? Well, you choose an appropriate cruise line and ship for that. Do you want luxury and pampering? Friends of mine were booked to go on a Cunard cruise, and they said, oh, there's one night there, it's a formal night, and we don't think we'll do it. And I said, well, if I was doing that cruise, I would, and I'll tell you, because that is part of the experience of travelling on Cunard, and you will not regret it if you do it. And so they took me advice, how stupid of them, and they said, you know what? That was actually very, very special to get dolled up and go to their formal night. So there's things like
it's a bit,
that.
It's a bit of fun. It is a bit
of
fun.
Yeah, that you need
I agree
to
with you. We're going to run out of time, and I don't want to do that, except to say the idea of going on a cruise, if you haven't done it, I'm a real proponent. You know, a proponent. I think it's fantastic because you can relax, you can dance. Yep. You can sit, you can eat, you can read, and just chill. And should you choose to get off the ship, you can do that. The other thing that I would alert people to, have a look at some of those so-called repositioning cruises.
Yep, that they're a good price.
Good price.
Yeah.
And that means that we did one out of Singapore where the ship came back to Australia to start that summer season.
Yeah, they've got to get it there, wonderful. So they may as well they offer you cheap prices just to get some passengers on board to help pay the crew fees and stuff like that,
There's a little note here from Jeff who says, G'day, Tony Mac, did a cruise on the old Fairstar when I was 20 from Sydney. Don't remember a thing. Well, that was the old, that was the fun ship. And I worked as a disc jockey. Yes. And I worked as a disc jockey on the Fairstar for a couple of cruises.
Oh, right.
It's when I lost my, I lost my hair. I'll go. on the fun ship and the fun
so
ship.
So you would have been up all night, I guess. You'd
go through till 4 or 5 o'clock. No, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning they'd kick on. Then you'd go for breakfast. Yeah. Then go for a few hours sleep, have lunch, and have a bit of a rest, and then do it all over again.
About
18 days in a row.
Yes, wonderful. Yeah.
I was young and I needed the money.
Yeah. No. And it would be good. You got to travel and you wouldn't have met any girls because I remember when I worked for P&O, single girls outnumbered single blokes by 7 to 1.
And I fell in love and I often wonder.
You?
Oh, yeah. And then I often wonder what happened to her. I introduced her to another colleague on that cruise. They ended up getting married.
Oh, you Cupid. I know. I'm speaking to Cupid. You should do a Lonely Heart segment, Tony.
I know. Wonderful Macedonian family and then ran beautiful things up on the Gold Coast, kiosks and things that did really well. Yeah. Grumpy, we've got to fly. We're going to run out of time. Except to say, have a look at your YouTube channel, Facebook. Yep. It's all there. It's always a hoot, and we'll do it again the next week or so.
Okay, Tony. See you, mate.
Not too sure whether we've engaged people sufficiently in the idea of a cruising or not cruising. My recommendation, it is. It's a lovely thing to do, but Grumpy says you've got to be careful with who you travel with and some of those hidden costs. Legitimate? You decide.